Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Robert Bly is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Bob is the author of Foolproof Marketing. He's a consultant who specializes in B2B, that's business-to-business, and direct marketing activities. He helps companies, large and small, put their best foot forward in the marketplace, and he makes the what to many people is unintuitive marketing into a very intuitive and successful practice. He's our good friend. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's always good to be with you.
It's good to have you here. Here's a question for you, Bob. Why is marketing, which really, once you understand it just a little bit, you can see how it's really not unintuitive at all, but why does it create such an unintuitive impression on people?
I think I would blame Madison Avenue. Madison Avenue has promulgated the theory that the goal of advertising is to entertain and make people laugh.
And manipulate.
And manipulate. It's true, manipulate. But to me, it's the key core of it is that they've promoted the idea that advertising must be creative and fun and enjoyable because their clients are a few hundred large multi-billion-dollar national brands, and they sell their stuff by getting you to recall their brand name or be aware of their brand name when you pick something off a shelf, which is the exact opposite of what your listeners do. Most of the people listening to this and who speak to me and speak to you are small businesses, and if they were to do that strategy, they would go broke.
Right.
We need a what my colleague Fred Gleick calls a positive rapid ROMD, return on marketing dollars. If we spend $100 on an ad in the Chamber of Commerce bulletin and we don't get back $500 in orders, it was a waste of time. And Madison Avenue just doesn't think that way. They think if we spend $80,000 of the client's money on an ad and we get a Clio award or an Addy award, we're happy.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't disagree with you. And the other thing that they have done, that the big brands, without doing anything intentional, but just because they are big, because they are so dominant with their impressions and everything, it's caused small business owners to believe that we can't have brands of our own.
Yeah, I would say that's a good observation, and there's been a lot of fuss in the marketplace recently over personal branding. I don't use the term, but I think it's a correct idea, which is that you don't have to be big to establish yourself as known in the world. See, the big Madison Avenue advertisers, their audience, let's say they're an American company and they don't sell overseas, their audience is 300 million people. But if you're a local chiropractor in a town of 20,000 people, your audience isn't even 20,000. It's the 1,000 that have back.
That's what I meant folks, at the beginning, before Bob got here, I told you, you've got the world is not your oyster, small business owner. Your world are the people who are likely to do business with you. And as Bob said, out of that 20,000 people in your community, only some of them are going to be your prospects, and only a fraction of those are going to become your customers. So that's how you have to focus. Isn't the key to 21st century marketing focus, focus, focus?
Yeah, and the big other fault of Madison Avenue, the reason it's ineffective, is that the people who are work there are taught the opposite of what you just said. They said, we want everyone to like our commercial. Everyone's not your market.
Right, right.
I don't even care whether the people look at my ad or watch my commercial unless they are my market. But they want, everyone to look at it and talk about it.
Okay, Bob. So we all believe you now. We're at your knee, and we're waiting with our little brains, our little sponges for your wisdom here. How do we get started focusing?
Well, the first thing to do is, one is easy and one is a little less intuitive. The easy thing is to determine who is your market. First, using the very standard, and then I'll show you a different way to do it, but first using very, very standard tools. You know, demographics. You know, if it's business to business, what size companies are you going to? What industries? What title of person
who's
within the company?
Who's likely to use your stuff?
Hmm? Yeah, and so on. But then you want to reach them on a deeper level. You have to get from the demographics or the numbers, you know, the figures on the magazine advertising rate card or on the mailing list data card, you have to get inside their mind. You want to say, who is this person and what keeps them up at night? What absolutely, what is their emotional hot button or what we call their dominant resident emotion? What is the thing that makes their stomach churn, that keeps them awake at night, that they really care about?
Mm-hmm.
Because people don't buy, for example, people, like I have a lot of clients and potential clients that sell training. And they say, I sell training. I said, no one buys training. No one wants training.
That's right.
They want employees that don't break OSHA regulations or whatever it is they train in. And people don't get that. So you have to figure out, if I go into a potential audience, what's their, what we would call, again, their core buying complex or their dominant resident emotion.
So when we're reaching out to them with our marketing campaigns, our ads, our you know, whatever they may be, and of course always radio. They always have to have radio. But as we're reaching out to them with all this, what do we do? Do we make an offer? Do we just tell them about us, or do we actually go for some kind of a call to action? What do we do?
Well, unless you are Procter & Gamble, you never just build your brand. You want action. Remember we talked about ROMD, return on marketing dollar.
Right.
If I spend a dollar on a radio commercial with you, I want $2 or $3 in sales at least. So to do that, I got to make an offer. Because if I don't make an offer and promote that offer in my radio commercial or my ad, the listener or the reader, they're too befuddled and too busy. They're not going to know what to do. If I want to take it to its simplest term, if I want someone to come into my showroom this Saturday and look at the 2007 models while they're on sale before we got to make room for the 2008, that's exactly what I have to say.
And say that.
Yeah, I have to tell them.
You're
going to
get a great
do.
Deal if you check out our 7s. The 8s are here, and we got to get rid of the 7s.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I remember seeing an ad that stuck with me, and it's a very unmemorable ad, but I remembered it for decades. I was reading the local newspaper, and there was a retail ad, and the headline was, Buy Scott Towns. And
go ahead. Go ahead.
We got a break off here?
Yeah, okay. All right, hold on to that thought.
Yeah.
We got a major cliffhanger. Folks, we've never had a Scott Towns cliffhanger
before. Never had a cliffhanger over town.
Only on the Small Business Advocate Show do you get this kind of drama. 20 after. Bob Bly and I will be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
We skip the light fandango. Only you can to make all this world seem right.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's our flagship, 10 years old now this month. And that's where you can find our show, the archives, the articles. The Brain Trust members, the newsletter, you can subscribe right there at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Also, check out the blog is something we also have there, which we update every weekday. And, of course, we have our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers right now. Bob Bly is with us. He's on our website. Robert W. Bly, the author of Foolproof Marketing. Bob, give us your website, please.
My main site is www.bly, B as in boy, ly.com. And if you go to bly.com/reports, you could sign up for my monthly e-newsletter and get a marketing library of 4 reports we sell that we offer for over $100. It's yours free.
Thank you for that, making that available. That's bly.com/reports.
/reports.
See, folks, see how hard I work for you to get you free stuff? Please take advantage of that. That's good stuff.
200 pages of free stuff.
Exactly. And I know that's how Bob makes his living, so I know he actually sells this stuff to other people. So thank you, Bob, for making that available just to my audience. Okay, we were talking as we went to the break about you know, making the offer. I know what it was. We had a cliffhanger. There was a
Making the offer that you have to tell people what to do. You have to tell people what to do. And I was recalling that I had seen a very ordinary ad that I've retained in my mind decades later, and the headline was simply "Buy Scott Towels." Now that's not a brilliant ad, but the one thing that worked about it is you're telling someone what to do. People want to be led. Do you remember Alan Funt of Camera Camp?
Of course.
Camera? So once I interviewed him for a newspaper, and he was telling me some interesting stories, and he said, people want to be led. And he did an experiment. He went into a department store with a clipboard, like he was important and taking notes, and purposefully he started walking up the escalator that was going down. The wrong escalator.
Only
and
Funk
people,
would do that.
He said everyone followed him. People want to be led.
Yeah.
And the offer leads them. An offer is basically you telling people, hey, if you respond to this commercial or promotion, you will get this. They're going to get something. And here's what you have to do to get it. You have to call an 800 number. You have to go to Jim's website and click here.
Are coupons virtual or physical? Are those still good ideas?
Coupons are certainly, when you say coupons, do you mean a coupon for 20 cents off on Cocoa Krispies?
Yeah, or what? I mean, you know, it could be a lot of different things. It could be, you know, bring this in and we'll give you a free Mercedes or whatever. Who knows?
Well, it's interesting. Like, let's separate virtual and real world. The theory today is that I write a lot of advertising, and people say, well, don't put a coupon in. That's old-fashioned. That's ridiculous because we can just put a website URL. But I'll tell you, a coupon does work in ads and has always or usually increased response when I've used them because it is a visual signal to the reader that, hey, this is one of those ads that you have to do something and get stuff.
Well, it's almost like you've given them a little piece of currency, isn't it?
Yeah, sort of. You redeem this coupon.
This thing has value. I mean, just like the offer you just made to my people. I mean, you didn't make that offer to any other radio show audience.
I actually have not. No.
And so that you gave them a coupon by giving them / reports.
Yes. So in that case, it's an audio or a virtual coupon,
so
and we do that on the web.
You gave
them
something
unique. For example, a lot of your listeners are trying to build online lists for their small business, and they say, "I'll offer a free e-newsletter." That's not enough today. You have to offer something more, like we just gave an example of a bonus. So if you're a commercial janitorial service and you have a website, you know, you should, and you have a monthly bulletin, you know, office space on how to clean and keep an office organized. You ought to sign to get people to sign up for that. You should offer them something like a tip sheet, like 10 tips for keeping your office spotless and organized, or whatever it would be.
Right.
We call that a free offer.
How do you determine if an offer that you're making, if a marketing campaign you're doing, how do you determine if it's being successful? How do you test that?
Well, the standard way, and it's been made a lot easier since the advent of the internet because there's software that lets us do it automatically, is what we call an A-B split test. In other words, if I have a client that says, well, we don't want to do that. That's a waste of time. Our audience doesn't do this. My answer would be, you don't know that, and I don't know that. Let's test it. Let's do, you know, let's drive some traffic. Let's start a pay-per-click campaign and drive people to our website. We'll drive half the traffic to a page where they can just put in their name to join our list, and the other half where we offer them a tip sheet or a guide or some free content or whatever you want to offer. Could be a premium merchandise. Could be a CD. And then we'll measure it. And if the conversion rate's higher on the page with the offer, then I was right. It improves response. And by the way, it usually is. On average, having an offer, if you're trying to generate leads, I'm not talking about trying to sell a product, but if you're trying to generate leads, having an offer will, a free offer, what we would call a premium, will as much as double response in most cases. It almost always lifts response. And if it doesn't, then I was wrong, but we didn't spend a lot of money because we did a limited test.
Right. So testing is good. Because it tells you what works and what doesn't work, and then without the test, without the sort of the control, so to speak, you don't really know how good your offer it can be.
Yeah, I mean, you can measure marketing without doing an A-B split test. For example, you could be mailing a direct mail package, and if it costs you a dollar to mail each package and you make 30 cents in sales, you pretty much know it's not working.
Give us that website again, Bob.
It's www.blyby.com/reports.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for that offer, and we'll see you next time.
See you. Thanks.
Robert W. Bly, ladies and gentlemen. His book is called Foolproof Marketing, wherever books are sold, and I bet it's available at his website, too. Quick break. Right back with Governor Pete DuPont after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.